Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Shh! Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
Oh, from a dream, a memory, a time I can place, can never quite see, through a stranger's eyes, like it wasn't even me. Memory indifferent, whatever that means, grasping for something that I used to know.
I'm Colt Hopkins. I started Hoppy about 7 years ago. I play guitar and I sing and then do a bit of the songwriting.
I'm Tanner Sparks and I play bass for Hoppy and joined, I don't know what, a year or two after you started the project?
Like 5 years, 6 years ago.
Yeah, and help with songwriting as well. And love it.
I'm Jacob Huff. I joined about a year ago. I play the trumpet and I have a good time.
My name's Cole Lawless and I play guitar and I also joined about a year ago.
I don't know, I feel like there's a fair amount of influence jumping around. I like to throw the words like soul and R&B around a lot because those are the genres I think that influence as much, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I agree. Yeah. That's kind of like what I, when someone asks me what kind of music we make, like our older stuff we got out is kind of more leaning more into like indie pop. But with this album, we kind of, I think, found our sound a little bit more, and definitely, I don't know what people would call it, but our influences going into it definitely was R&B and soul and that kind of just groove and those vibes, just those blankets of sound.
I feel like it's pretty fun to, I guess, kind of lean into the ambiguity because we all pull from a bunch of different tastes that we have, and it's entertaining for me after a show when someone comes up and kind of like puts a label on us, which I love because often it's very different or different than I might have put on us. And I think that that's like a cool part of art, is leaving it to the person that's listening to make decisions for themselves and what they think about the art. And I think it's cool to have that back and forth with people that listen.
You know you shouldn't hurt yourself, but the last time around, let my heart really. You don't look so good, honey, I know.
I mean, for me, it kind of came down to, like, growing up, I was always listening to a lot of oldies from the 50s and 60s. You know, like, you start off with Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley when you're 10 or whatever, but then getting older and just kind of finding those influences as time went on, I just really, there's a magic behind a lot of that time period of music that I don't think it's captured as much, especially in just like the overly digital age we live in. I don't know, analog music just has like a very particular sound that appeals to my ears. I don't know what draws everybody else.
With my role in the band, and like I discover a lot of music through you, Colt, because you, like, I didn't really grow up listening to R&B and like kind of older type music. Like, I grew up kind of like a metalhead. Like, I loved metal and I still love metal, but I loved diving into like the stuff that you really loved, and in turn falling in love with what you were talking about, like those influences, and you know, the influence of, I think especially, like, I feel like it all started with D'Angelo. You kind of coming in with just saying, guys, you, this is such cool music, and really getting into those like old R&B and hip hop type beats. And I feel like we all, you, me, and Davey, like when we first started writing this stuff, we're really diving into that. And that's those kind of influences and falling in love with it and learning how to do our own thing with that is what I really love.
Yeah, it's also, I think, a performance aspect for me. Like, I love playing with the band and feeling, you know, the locked-in-ness and the just the feeling of being a band and being able to play together and, like, all feel the same groove, the same way. And it just, I think that's really special. And so that's a large thing that draws me to the way we play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I for sure had like a similar experience because I joined about a year ago, and what, you know, locked me in was fun.
You're right.
Like, I love playing with these guys, and the experience is very like expressive. I feel like I'm able to put a lot of my own emotion and expression into what we play, which makes it satisfying and fun to do for a long time.
I think that's what's so much fun about it for me at the end is, like, sure, I do a lot of the principal songwriting, but it's usually like I come up with these fragments of ideas, things that I want to like leave blank for everybody else to start coloring in with me. And then, and then other times Jacob's like, okay, we're gonna scrap this entire section.
I never said
and
that.
No, but just, I mean, like, in like the way of like, you're gonna rewrite this part to like bring out the better side of what you originally liked about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, with Still Breathing in the album is a great example. That chorus, where we just completely changed that second progression.
Totally. And it makes it so much more interesting.
Yeah. Like, like, the air of collaboration is really important in this band. I don't think it would be around if it wasn't for kind of like, it's not like butting heads, but just like those different opinions and stuff coming together and then like forming around each other is a really big part of the dynamic. So the album is called Little While. It started being, I guess, the story of it is kind of about like 2 years ago when the first full song on it, Still Breathing, was written. which we recorded a couple different times until we finally got it right. It wasn't even going to be on this album when we were originally writing out the track list. But Jacob and myself went through and did like a pretty extensive rewrite of the original song. And I feel like that it was what finally switched it to fit in with all the other songs that had been from a more recent writing process. Because there was a time in the last 2-3 years where we were really unsure about what we wanted to do. We'd gone through a lot of different members, but like the core three of us had still been working. And so finally it kind of came down to like, let's just start throwing stuff at the wall and see what sticks a little bit. And that's what Tanner was speaking about like just diving into new influences, finding new inspiration for the songs we're writing. And then with those, you know, desperate strings and ends all over the place was when like meeting Jacob and Cole was really helpful because their outside perspective came in and they were like, this is all great. Here's the things I personally would want to add to make it like a complete package. And like songs like Changes, songs like You Don't Look at Me Like You Used To are songs that came together through that like kind of like chopping and rearranging.
I think was the first song that really was like Davey, Colt, and I just, it just came from us jamming. And that was like, I vividly remember one of the first days where we were like, we just got to start trying different stuff because we're kind of like not as excited about what we were trying to do before. And when we one day were just jamming and kind of came up with just having fun, just came up with a parts of Garage Sketch. It was a good start to almost have an anchor of like, okay, I think this is the direction we want to go in. And I think most of the album can be tied back to that.
Absolutely. And I especially think that Garage Sketch, because it was built on such a simple foundation, switching between those two chords, that bringing in you two, Jacob and Cole, felt so easy and so like sensible, because the second you guys just started ripping over that two chord progression, like I knew, I was like, okay, yeah, this is the direction the albums needed to go all along.
It's fun.
I think that was the first song you taught me when I joined for that first quarter show. And I think you just showed me the two chords and were like, yeah, you can kind of do anything over this whole thing.
So from my perspective, I mean, something we've talked a lot about is how the album kind of represents years of like evolution and hard work from the three of them that have been doing this for so long. And from my perspective coming in, you know, at the tail end of that process, it's been really cool to like slot into what they've created that has been so solid. And then it's like an honor to just like add to that. And I'm, you know, we're all really proud of what we put together. And I think that that's what it is mainly in my mind, is like a commemoration of the years of hard work.
Totally. You guys made it so much better as well.
Well, and that was what I think finally made it click for me, especially just given like the nature of the recording. Like, it was a very intimate process. We were in Cole's basement where our producer Jackson, one of the best ever to do it at Salt Lake. He just like has this wonderful setup, but it's like a really chill basement. So it would be, you know, you'd go from just hanging out to like, okay, let's get some parts tracked. Let's go hang out a little bit more, eat some food or whatever. And it was just like very open. We called it like comfortable, but vulnerable. And I think that's where a lot of the album has a bit of
spontaneity to it. There's a lot of sound bites. There's a lot of just us hanging out that you can hear if you're really paying attention. And I think that that paints more of a story if you listen to it than like most of the lyrics do, funny enough.
What I really liked about that setting was that because we're comfortable, I think it really allowed us to let the songs breathe, mm-hmm. let them evolve as they were going to. So there's a lot of parts that were changed during the album writing, well, the album recording process, and a lot of things that we weren't planning on doing or adding at all that then just suddenly felt right. And we just wanted to give the songs space to be able to do that. And I mean, like one of the songs we wrote most of it, other than the main structure, we wrote most of it in like our second session or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we definitely wanted there to be the opportunity for the songs to go in whatever direction they wanted to, instead of just us being like, all right, this is probably what it is, let's go.
Yeah. Was that You Don't Look At Me?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
we used to?
Yeah.
That
yep.
whole second
The time switch, yeah.
But that's not to say that every song was like a fiasco of like, not fiasco, but like a, like started from one place and went completely different, because we have other
yeah.
songs like the Casio,
yeah.
which were kind of written, recorded, done before they were even like given over to Jackson. But because
yeah.
of the way we embellished what was already working about that song, it got like even more life to it. And then of course Jackson, being the great producer he is, just has so many great ideas about like, okay, we're going to drop everything out right here and make the drums reverse and play an acoustic guitar that sounds like it's being played from hell. Like,
right.
just like, it's a lot of finesse
yeah.
through the process that like I was really shocked as it was coming towards us in the moment. And looking back at it, I think it was just like a trusting of like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I trusted them that they were honest about liking the material I brought to the table, and like, they trusted me enough to like give me their opinions and help me move things around.
Yeah. So I felt it was like a good enough open space that we were able to like kind of create so many ideas, and everything was so creatively open that you could add more than maybe what we thought and then go through and do the subtractive editing, which is like so
right.
nice. You're not like pushed for like sitting there thinking, what should I do to fill this space?
Mm-hmm.
We had so much that we filled in, and we're like, okay, now we can take
yeah.
things away and let it do all this breathing that we know we want it to do.
Yeah.
Which
a
is
lot
really
of,
nice.
A lot of like, just try it. Let's just do
yeah.
it. Let's just see what it sounds like. And then like,
yeah, not being afraid to
who
just,
cares if it doesn't sound
yeah.
good, we can always take it out.
Yep.
You're about to hear Garage Sketch from our debut album, Little While, in its entirety. Enjoy it.
Crashing down again, it brings me to my knees.
If you enjoyed this episode of Sound Waves, please take 60 seconds to rate or review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivey, coordinated by William Hughes, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy any place cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Sound Waves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.